97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, as promised on the Comcast Business Hotline right now, my man, my podcast partner, he is Steve Callis. Steven, how are you, my friend?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you, as always.
You too, pal. Since we're talking Sixers, let's start with them. Joel Embiid, again, I mentioned this in the last 2 weeks. What you get out of Joel Embiid is a 49-point game, a clunker against Milwaukee where he put up 17 against Giannis, a $25,000 fine for flipping off one of the Hawks, and a shoulder injury, and one other thing, he's on social media, which he said he wasn't going to be on. That's what you get out of him in 2 weeks. It's up and down. You never know what you're going to get. I don't think they can win a title with Joel Embiid as their main front guy. What do you think?
Well, I think they can, but, I mean, you make some good points. There's a maturity factor on and off the court. Social media and technical fouls.
Yep.
Goofing with the other guys, getting fined, whatever he got fined, what you just talked about. I just think, and you've got to get in shape. I mean, there's a whole lot of things there. But to me, it's still the overriding thing is talent. And talent wins in the NBA. You're right, it has to be a lot more than just talent. I agree with that. But he's such a transcendent talent. I think they can win with him. And, you know, I'll just say this about today's game, just to show you how far, not that they've fallen, because you got some hungry guys playing now, right?
Yeah, you do.
But
sure.
Today in the second quarter, their lineup was Burks, Kyle O'Quinn, Thibault, Mike Scott, and Shake Milton.
Wow.
So give that a little thought. And they had it at the half, but as you said, you know, if you're 7-11 from three in the first quarter, you're going to be winning the game. But you can't rely on that. I mean, this would have been a miracle win if they beat the Clippers.
Great.
And if anything, I think you got to look a little at the Clippers in their D, because, you know, this is my pick for the NBA Finals, Clippers,
yeah.
76ers.
Sure.
I'm not so sure now, but I think you need a maturity on and off the court. And as good as Embiid is, I kind of agree with you if you're asking me long term, how long do you wait for this guy to grow up, for lack of a better word? How long do you wait for him to get in tip-top shape? And you have the overriding fear of injury now. Does he get injured because he's not in shape, because he's overweight, because he doesn't kill himself to be in shape? That's a big question, because if you're going to have this recurring thing, then you might be right that they can't win a thing with him. But I think it would be more for lack of being on the court and or lack of being in shape than the fact that they literally can't win with him if he's in Philly.
Yeah, I think he makes Carson Wentz look like Brett Favre. He makes Carson Wentz look healthy. He's always banged up.
Oh, boy.
It's unbelievable. So what's that say again? Oh, that was a drop. I'm sorry. All right, so they lose today. Ben Simmons has a lower back injury. Joel Embiid, no structural damage in the shoulder. Ben Simmons, I was led to believe, was going to expand his game and shoot the ball, and Brett Brown said he'd like to see him shoot a lot more. He's not doing it. Brett Brown is not calling up plays for him to do it, or if he is, Ben Simmons is ignoring him. Do you think he's too soft of a coach, and he lets the players kind of do what they want to do, and how long is he for this league if this team doesn't make the NBA Finals this year?
Well, we've talked about this before. You have to walk such a fine line as a coach today, because everybody wants the players coach now, right?
Right.
You don't hear about the hard asses of yesteryear. You see the same thing in baseball where, you know, well, I don't know, Buck Showalter can't get a job, for example. So it's a different world now. And the other thing I think is I don't know for sure, but I think the players are starting to lean towards thinking, oh, this guy didn't play in the NBA, that guy did play in the NBA, that kind of thing. I don't think that's the right way to look at it, but you got to wonder, in the modern NBA, do you really need a player who played in the league to now become a coach? Doc Rivers comes to mind, for example. But there are a lot of, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of non-player coaches. But the other aspect of it to me is, certain coaches can only take you so far. Now, Brett Brown has taken Philadelphia from the depths of the process.
Yeah.
To where they've been the last couple of years, but I don't think you've seen market improvement, especially from a guy like Simmons. You know, everyone said, oh yeah, he's going to work on the shot this summer, and you and I were saying, well, what happened to the prior summer?
Yeah, right.
After the first year, he played a lot. So they're going to say the same thing this summer, and we'll be saying, okay, well, what happened to last summer and the summer before? And it really is incredible because, you know, they might wind up, it'll be interesting, you might wind up playing Shake Milton and Ben Simmons together, and at least you'll have one guy who will take outside shots. The better question is, will Shake Milton handle the ball? And then can Ben Simmons be a dominant player without the ball, off the ball, getting the ball and slashing to the basket? Because frankly, Joe, that's, and I'm not, when I say that's all he can do, he does it better than any guard in the league and as well as most big men in the league because he's 6'10". But you have to adapt to what he does at some point. You can't wait 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Oh, will he take 12 footers this year?
Yeah.
And the answer so far has been no, no, and no. So does that mean next year it's going to be yes? And oh, by the way, is he going to make them? I don't know the answer to that, but to me, it's an interesting backcourt, Shake Milton and Ben Simmons, because I think Milton's been good all along. I mean, obviously, he exploded today. You and I talked about him in the past. He's got some ability.
Yeah,
you know?
He does.
These guys come out of the G League, and you stick them in the big show, and you don't know how they're going to do. This guy has no fear. You can say what you want about the past. You can say about his playing. He has no fear, and that's kind of a number one thing to me. If you're a guard in the league, you know, not a dominant physical specimen, you have to have no fear. See, like Patrick Beverley, for example.
Yeah, right?
But I think
no conscience.
I think Milton and Ben Simmons in the backcourt is going to be an interesting thing. But long term, as you talk about Embiid correctly, what's long term with Ben Simmons? Is he going to make a 15-footer on a regular basis in his career? It's been 3 years now. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't think Brett Brown of the 76ers know. They can tell him all they want, but unless he pulls the trigger and takes, you know, Kobe Bryant, may he rest in peace, 500 jumpers a day, 1,000 jumpers a day, work it out after games. I don't know if he's got that kind of mentality. I just don't know. And so you have two transcendent talents, in my view, but can they mesh to win a championship, or do they need some kind of alpha dog, where's Jimmy Butler, to come in and kind of take over? And I think Jimmy Butler came in and you know, made an affirmative decision that's not going to happen here. And that's why you have Tobias Harris with a max contract and Al Horford with a 100-and-whatever-million contract. But Shake Milton could be a diamond in the rough, and I don't base it just on this game. He's not scoring 39 a game, but he's a player.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I think he is a player, and I think he deserves more playing time. He certainly worked his way into the lineup. He'll get some more minutes, I would hope. Let's get a little positive now. The Flyers, 16-5-1 since January 8th. They're among the elite in the league. They're a top six team. They could, if the Wild beat the Caps tonight and the Flyers beat the Caps on Wednesday, they'll be in first place in the Metro Division. Who would have thunk it? And they're the hottest team in the league since January 8th. What's the biggest difference between last year and this year, and how much has Elaine Vigneault turned this thing around?
Well, I would say Elaine Vigneault, you know, he comes in, he always improves his team. He's been to the Cup Finals twice. I like him. We talked about this last week. He's cool, calm, and collected. Nothing fazes this guy, and that's important. In my mind, in the NHL today, you can't get rattled as a coach. A lot of people think John Tortorella is a great coach and he's really fiery and passionate, but I think he loses his mind sometimes.
He does.
And that's why he's, you know, has short stays in some places sometimes. But this guy, he may lose his job, but he's never going to lose his cool. You know, he took the Rangers to the finals. He took the Canucks to the finals. You and I both thought the Flyers could make the playoffs this year. Clearly that's going to happen now. I didn't think they could make a run at the Cup, but you know, hot team, hot goalie, Carter Hart has to play better on the road. You know, it's interesting today because Mike Milbury said before the game, maybe after the first period, he goes, I think before the game, I'm surprised that the Rangers are starting Lundqvist and the Flyers are starting Hart, because Lundqvist hasn't started since February 3rd. He hadn't played since February 11th, and Hart's bad on the road. Well, to look at the Flyers first, Hart's bad on the road. Guess what? He has to get good on the road if they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
Sure.
So what, are you going to sit him in every road game? So that's absurd. So now he's 4-10-1. I understand that's terrible. But he now has to win now. Win for the rest of the season. They're going to make the playoffs. The only question is where. But if you want to win in the playoffs, you can't really go home and away, goalie. You might give him a blow on the road in the playoffs if they're going to play, you know, 21, 28 games. You know, it's a whole other season in hockey.
Other season, yeah.
But he's the guy. I think he has to play every away game. And as for Lundqvist, you know, it's kind of sad. They do have two goalies better than Lundqvist now, according to the coach. But one of them, the Shesterkin guy, who's very good, only 8-1 in, you know, 9 games, 8-1, only 9 games in the league. But he broke a rib in a car accident, so when is he coming back? He's out at least 2, probably 3 weeks. So Lundqvist has to play. And I'll tell you what, they kind of criticized him in the first period. I'm sure you saw the game. You can't let the Flyers get the power play. You know, you just can't give up power play goals. In the first one, it was a misdirect. It was a redirected shot. He stopped it, but you can't control the rebounds. It's very hard on redirections. You're just trying to make the save. The second power play goal, remember, was a pass literally 80 feet across the ice to the other side. He came over and made a great save. But then it just bounced. I forget who scored that second goal, but it just bounced over to him, and he put it in an empty net. And then the shorthanded goal was a breakaway.
Yeah.
So Hart, and then it so played into the narrative, oh, Lundqvist, well, you know, he wasn't ready. I think they could have scored 5 or 6 goals in the first period because Lundqvist made some great saves. So I think even though these guys are the experts, if you're the coach of the Flyers, Hart has to play on the road. He's got to. And if he shows you he literally can't win on the road, then you might have a difficult decision to make. But he's lights out at home. And I'll just give you one funny stat, which shows me how good Philly is with the least amount of shots you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Versus the Rangers. Going into today's game, Carter Hart and Lundqvist for the season had almost the exact same save percentage. Yeah, Lundqvist is 10-11-3, and Hart's now 22-12-3. And that means something if you actually look at the statistics. And I'm not saying Lundqvist is Carter Hart now. He's not. But if your save percentage is the same, I'm not saying you should have the same record, Joe, but you should have similar records. So, to me, Hart has to play every road game. If you're going to give him a blow, give him the game off at home, because you want to be first. Obviously, they put themselves in the mix, but you also want to have your number one goalie, which you and I have talked about now. Finally, the Flyers have a number one goalie, hopefully for 10 years or more. But this guy has to not only play on the road, he has to win on the road if they want to make a serious run in the playoffs. And also, I just want to mention Kevin Hayes. You know, give the Rangers credit. Kevin Hayes, former Ranger, Alain Vigneault, former Ranger coach. They had like a video tribute to him during a timeout in the game today, which is pretty classy. But I love Kevin Hayes as a hockey player. Your guest before was very good. He's kind of a streaky guy, but he's a very good hockey player. And the fact that he has 22 goals, second to Konechny's 23, speaks volumes. But he's always been a very good hockey player. But now, yes, he's more consistent, and he's one of the biggest pickups they've had all year. So an excellent signing. The Rangers, of course, didn't trade him to the Flyers. They traded him to Winnipeg. You went over that before. But he signed with the Flyers, and he signed a big contract. I guess the Rangers wouldn't give him that money. And don't forget, also, in today's game, the Rangers lost Kreider the other day. He broke his foot, you know, blocking his shot.
Yep.
I'm surprised there aren't more broken foots when you see how these guys play, because it's hard to protect that area, obviously. But losing him is a big blow to the Rangers. I picked them to be 7th or 8th before the season, and they might make a run, but if he's out for a long time, and I'm guessing with a broken foot he is, plus, as you know, speed is his game, I think they might come up short. But the Flyers, you know, they're a legitimate team. They can make a run. I'm not sure if they can go with the big dogs yet, but they need some playoff experience for their goalie no matter what. Now he's definitely going to get it, barring injury.
All right, great stuff, man. We'll check in with you next time, probably next Saturday between 12 and 3. Great stuff on the Flyers. We'll hope they keep that going and hope the Sixers turn that thing around. Thanks, Steven. Great talking to you, pal.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
And you too. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, we got to take a break. We're a little behind. On the other side, we'll break down some of what Steve said, and we shall go forward. I'm Joe Stasiak here till 11 o'clock tonight. Stick around.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.